Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading Paradise Falls is the Teenage Purgatory for Kids Who Died Too Early. I Died for 4.5 Minutes. This is by Trash Tia. Let's get started. I didn't know much about my almost death, just that it was fast and damn painful. I know I died screaming, writhing in agony, and just wanted it to stop. Death, or almost death, is a weird thing. It's like being dragged underwater, suffocating in pitch dark depths, and then floating back to the surface. Breaking through, oxygen returning to your lungs. Waking upside down on a sun lounger with no memories but my name was not what I was expecting to be on the other side. I was always curious about the possibility of an afterlife. I was brought up in an atheist household, but there was a part of me that believed in something after death. Not quite the white pearly gates, but definitely not the suffocating and yet peaceful oblivion my parents believed in. Mom was convinced there was just the dark, while Dad was more accustomed to reincarnation. Both of them were wrong, because heaven resembled a 5-star holiday resort. For a moment I was frozen, staring at a perfect blue sky, aware of my ponytail lightly grazing the water. Looming over me was a picturesque building made of pink brick going up, up, up into the air. Thousands, miles of checkerboard windows, an impossible water park hovering above the clouds. The pool I was half submerged in and that shimmered above me was made of diamonds. The afterlife for people was spring break. I was transfixed, hypnotized by this beautiful place, before I slipped into the water head first. There was a suppressed memory there somewhere, my idiotic child self forgetting I couldn't swim in the deep end. My initial reaction was to panic, but I didn't need my lungs or my breath anymore. The water was the perfect temperature, like being embraced in a warm hug. Still though, that didn't stop me immediately freaking out and clawing my way back to the surface, spluttering. It was my natural reaction to choke, despite no longer having working lungs. You can't drown in shallow water, idiot. Behind me, a boy was sitting on the edge of the pool, his toes dancing in the shallows. The kid was my age, 18 or maybe 19. He offered me a smile, blowing floppy brown hair out of his eyes. I noticed flowers entangled in his curls, a broken crown of roses. His clothes were an interesting choice for immortal paradise. A short-sleeved white t-shirt covered in blood, jeans rolled up to his knees. Those were the clothes he must have died in. I noticed his right eye was bruised yellow, a shiver creeping its way down my spine. Looking down at myself, my clothes were fairly normal. No blood splatters. At least, not what I could see. Just a plain shirt and jeans, both of which were uncomfortably glued to me. "I'm Kane," he said, kicking his feet in the water. The boy turned his head and I gulped in air. I didn't think panic would still exist in heaven, but there it was, twisting my gut into knots. I didn't have or need breath, and yet I found myself instinctively trying to suck it in. The guy may have looked beautiful, like the afterlife was editing him to fit perfection, but I could see the shallow cavern at the back of his skull, a smear of pinkish red dripping down his shirt. "As you can see, it's obviously why I'm here." He prodded the hole and I winced. He saw my reaction and laughed. "Hey, it's cool. Apparently, our physical selves don't exist." His lips formed a smile. "The girl in room 101 told me our real physical forms would freak us out, so we're our default selves." "Default?" I repeated. "Yeah," Kane's eyes darkened. "We look like we did when we, died." He sighed, his gaze going skyward, tracking a kid plunging into an infinity pool right above our heads. "Speaking of the D-word, I don't remember how or why I, D-worded. Kane turned back to me, offering me a playful shrug, tipping his head back, like we were meeting for the first time on holiday. "I don't know, man. I was shot in the head, died, and then I ended up in a stone dude's idea of heaven. I don't know what to say, except this is awesome." "Bree," I managed to get out. He raised a brow. "Huh?" I allowed myself to sink into the water, trying to register his words. It's Bree. Well, it's nice to meet you, Bree. Kane jumped up, holding out his hand to help me out of the pool. When I tried to grasp his arm, he held up a two-fingered salute. Happy Death Day. I found myself laughing, which was ridiculous because the joke sucked. I let him pull me out of the pool, sopping wet. How long did it take you to think of that one? Kane shrugged, scrunching up his nose. Longer than necessary, he said. Oh, hey, here's a tip. The boy spun around to face me, and I could almost forget he was clearly a murder victim. If you want to get dry, just do this. Kane clicked his fingers. You're not serious. He laughed. We're in a never-ending paradise for kids, and you think I'm joking? Welcome to Paradise Falls. The mechanical voice spoke above us as if on cue. There were floating speakers in the sky. Everything seemed to be floating. The only thing that wasn't floating was us. When I lifted my head, the clouds switched colors depending on my mood. According to Kane, the whole world was ours, quite literally. Everything we saw was tailored to our own personal paradise. I asked Kane what he could see, and he shrugged. Flowers, he said with a light smile. I was given a welcoming in the form of an AI voice. Paradise Falls is a safe space for young people whose lives have come to an abrupt end. If you have any questions regarding your death, please visit the help desk. And remember, Paradise Falls removes painful memories to ensure a perfect stay here. If you have trouble remembering how you died, be rest assured there is a reason. Here at Paradise Falls, we believe in moving forwards. If your stay here is temporary, the speakers were on a constant repeat, as Kane pulled me further into the resort itself. The place was 99.9% water, even the floor glistening like the surface of a tropical ocean. I fell into the ground twice, catching the attention of a group of kids walking past us, led by a pretty redhead with a spear through her eye. The guy walking with her was constantly spluttering water. That's Adam and Rhea, Kane murmured. Adam drowned in his family pool and Rhea, he trailed off. Was shot through the eye, I think, I said. It's obvious. Kane shot me a grin. You're learning, he said. But no, she was strangled. I kept walking, narrowly missing falling into another surprise swimming pool. Who by? I found myself asking, breathless. Kane scratched the back of his head. Her boyfriend. I know, right? Yikes. Leave the new girl alone, a girl's voice trilled. Kane curled his lip. He didn't even turn around. Ignore Mina, the guy muttered. If we pretend not to see her, she'll crawl back into the affinity pool. You're not, and never will be funny, Kane. The girl standing behind us was beautiful, free of flaws and the scars from her death, dark brown hair that ran like silk down her back, a crown of daisies loosely tangled through, another flower crown. I saw them as a symbol of rebirth. Mina's clothes stood out, a white dress, flowers coiled around her ankles. She was everything I wanted to be and more, immediately giving me butterflies. Attached to her hip was a shy-looking blonde guy who gave me a shy wave. Kane's lip curled. I see you've been catching strays, he muttered to Mina. The dead boy nudged me, motioning for me not to speak, and I didn't. I couldn't. Instead, I waved back and tried to smile at this kid whose skull was caved in. The guy's smile was innocent, and I had a hard time wondering how a human being could do something so horrific, so inhumane that they themselves became monsters. I caught a single red petal in the kid's hair. Don't pity me, the boy said with a sheepish smile. I know it looks bad. I found my voice. No, it... Name Zach, he said before I could choke on pitying him. Mina must have noticed my face. She passed me the drink she was holding. That was a whole new shade of pink. Try this, she insisted. They do emotion shakes here. This one is supposed to taste like falling in love. I took a sip, and she was right. Like tasting the warmth of a first crush. The butterflies fluttering around in your gut, combined with strawberry, mango, and the slightest bit of coconut. It was heaven in a smoothie. They have every flavor, Mina said excitedly, bouncing up and down. I even tried depression, and it's surprisingly good, but it's like a rich, chocolatey shake. Like, mix a Kinder bar with the euphoria from sex, then the ickiness of a hangover. Combine with the breakup with your boyfriend, zero serotonin, and you have the depression shake. Fascinating, Kane said in a tone that suggested otherwise. Please, tell us more. She responded with a playful shove. Relax, I'm just giving them the Paradise Falls lowdown. Yes, because I'm sure the first thing that is on their minds is a double frappe with extra serotonin, he grumbled. Dude, this isn't a damn college tour. The girl wrapped her arms around me. Her flowery scent was sweet. Kane is a man-child. He just likes playing in the pool. I'm still technically a kid, you know, he said, skipping ahead of us with Zach. The two guys were standing on a golden bridge ahead, looking out into the expanse of water that bled into the sky. Mina was still talking, her hand wrapped around my wrist, but I was suddenly far too aware of her smell. Flowers, rich and sweet like jasmine. Dirt. Filth clinging to her skin mixed with cheap perfume. Oh, and on Wednesdays, they actually sell shots of serotonin. It's like a legal high. I was aware of the girl hugging me, her hair lightly brushing my cheeks. But Mina's face was in my mind, her smell choking my nose and throat. Flowers. I knew her. I knew her stink, and I knew my body's reaction to it. She wasn't supposed to feel and smell so familiar, so real, because I had never met her before stepping foot in Paradise Falls. My memories, however, were full of her, suffocated with her. All it took was one splinter of a memory and my heaven was crumbling. Paradise Falls faded like it never existed, and I was back in the real world. The flower girl was in front of me, draped in a white dress, daisies clinging to matted curls. The room was made of concrete, one singular light flickering above the two of us. The girl cocked her head, lightly pulling at her hair. Her smell was wildflowers and the dirt she ground her fingers in. Daddy said you're not ready, the girl murmured. Her eyes were bright like she was happy, but her lips were drawn into a frown. Daddy said you're not ready, the flower girl murmured. Her eyes were bright like she was happy, but her lips were drawn into a frown. She leaned forward, her breath stinking of cigarette smoke and blew in my face. That's a pity. She pulled a flower from her hair, dangling the daisy in front of my face. Aren't you hungry? The girl mocked a childlike giggle, making the daisies dance. But I wasn't looking at the flower or the girl's dead eyes. I was staring at the bodies hanging from meat hooks. Beheaded sacks of flesh swaying from side to side. The walls were painted rich red, the entrails from prior sacrifices used to create cave-like paintings. The Flower King insisted that our blood stained each brick, our life force fed inside the house and the flower garden. The bodies on hooks were people I knew. Leah, who told me she was going to escape. She was on display for that very reason. I screamed, agony and pain writhing in my cry, a fear I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't stop, screeching until my throat was choking up, my cries gurgling into wet sobs. Cocking her head, the flower girl's lips spread out into a demented grin. If I looked closely, I could see stitches lining her forehead, where her king had filled her thoughts with poison. I thought I could wake her up, but the flowers were too deep, filling her mind. You stupid bitch, she said with a laugh. The flower girl cradled my face with her fingers, digging her fingernails in. Her eyes were wild, like the flowers she worshipped. No trace of humanity left, except the markings on her skin. She slapped me, and I saw red. It's not real, I whispered through a shriek. It's not real. I wanted to tell her that her father was forcefully breeding men and women, murdering their newborns, for the flowers. I wanted to tell her she was next, and then so was her brother. But all she did was giggle, pressing her hands over her mouth like a little kid. You make me laugh. The girl straightened up, kicking me in the stomach, and I felt every hit, every sharp, agonizing pain ripping through me. You're so funny, she spluttered, forcing me to laugh with her. If I didn't, the flower girl would bleed me out before the harvest. When she finished, I was curled onto my side, my mouth full of red warmth that dripped down my chin. Ah, the girl pulled a face. Are you coughing up your lungs? That's like so gross. Flower girl kicked me again, this time in the back of my head. I saw stars exploding, my thoughts swimming. Darkness was creeping at the corner of my vision when she stopped. "If you're going to kill me, then get on with it. They'll just be early sacrifices." I felt something move behind me, a body I didn't realize was attached to me, come to life. His hands entangled with mine trembled, a soft moan escaping his mouth. When I managed to look up, the flower girl grasped hold of my chin, forcing me to look in the direction of the flower prince. I never knew his old self, but there were whispers that he too had been like me, just a scared kid needing a home. The shadow dipping under the light grew a face, and I could already see the flowers entangled in his curls catching the light. He only wore his crown on the days of harvest. The guy stood behind her, arms crossed, dark eyes pinched around the edges. Dressed in matching white, the flower prince was stained red, painted like his father. The markings on his head, stitches cementing his place as a child of the garden. He wasn't smiling, but my sharp hisses of a breath were teasing his facial muscles. The boy held out his hand, and after a slight hesitation, the flower girl pressed a blade into his fist. I watched his fingers tiptoe across the teeth, setting every nerve ending on fire, my body catapulting into fight or flight. I saw what happened to Adam, and then Lucy, and then Thea. They all died by his psychotic hand, cradling their bodies, spewing red in his arms, and promising they were making a worthy donation. The flower prince ran the knife down my face, his expression crumpling into a melancholic frown. "You're scared," he said, pressing enough pressure to draw blood. I felt it, a single line running down my face. I sensed his urgency for it, his polluted thoughts desperate to quench the garden. "Don't be scared," the boy said, his lips breaking into a grin resembling his father's. His human eyes were gone, replaced with hollow caverns filled with an insanity that was physically vibrating from him. Twitching his body from side to side, I barely felt the blade go in. As if he could feel my pain, he screamed with me, mocking my pleads for death. "Please!" The cry came from behind me. He spoke in heavy sobs, wrenching against our restraints. "Please, let us go." Swinging the knife between his fingers, the flower prince pouted, his eyes darkening, lips curling in disgust. "But what if I don't want to let you go, huh?" He mocked a childlike mumble. "What if I don't want to let you go?" He struck both of us, emphasizing every word, and I felt it, the blade cruel slicing into me. Gnawing through flesh and bone, I thought it would stop. I thought he was taking us to the edge of death and then let us breathe, let us writhe in agony, but he didn't. The flower prince did not show mercy, plunging his blade into me until I was lying in stemming red on my back, my gaze on the ceiling, imagining water. Pools of glistening water I could envelop myself in, wash off the blood and sink deep down. My companion's body was behind me, unrecognizable. The flower girl was singing a melody, dancing around his crumpled form. The flower prince was on his knees, knelt in my blood, lips stretched into a maniacal grin. He dipped his fingers in thickening red, gliding them across my cheek. His voice was incomprehensible giggles and prayers to the flowers, to his father for sacrificing me too early. He was rocking back and forth, hollowed out eyes blinking at an invisible god, when the sound slammed into me. Bang! I pried my eyes open, rolling onto my side. So much blood. It was sticky and wet and warm, slick on my skin. Thundering footsteps, a blinding light that wasn't heaven's pearly gates. A flashlight illuminated the room, finding the flower girl who sliced her own throat the second they moved toward her. "Hands up," the voice yelled. "Move away from them." "Or what?" the flower prince laughed. I caught the flash of his grin. "Are you planning on shooting a kid?" I said, "Put your hands on your head, now!" "Bree?" The world contorted, and I was back under a crystal blue sky. Now, though, clouds were starting to form, a darkness riding on the horizon. "Bree!" I blinked, and my murderer was in front of me. "Did you hear what I said?" I felt his hand wrap around my arm, tight enough to make me shriek. "I said..." Kane gritted through a grin, squeezing me tighter. The loose flowers in his hair were slowly forming a crown. His smile was wide, but I couldn't find the happiness and carefree he'd been an hour ago. From the manic look in his eyes, my murderer was living his own version of paradise, and I think he reveled in getting his memory back every time. Cain clung to me, the sky turning tumultuous. Behind me, Zach turned around, his eyes wide, suddenly. He started forwards before coming to a stop. He was too scared. Mina took his hand gently, coaxing him back. The flower girl met my gaze, her eyes filling with tears. She took Zach, the two of them fading into the distance, and I was stuck with the flower prince. "Well," Cain laughed, tightening his grip, "isn't this the best damn afterlife ever?" "Bree, come on, honey. I've got a heartbeat. It's faint. Brianna, can you hear me?" It felt like being yanked underwater, dragged to icy depths. When I opened my eyes, I was surrounded by paramedics, a mask I was struggling to pant into. Zach was dead. In the corner of my eye, his body was being gently pulled onto a stretcher. To my left, Mina lying on her side, her eyes still open, her lips carved into a grin. Cain was crumpled in a heap, his brains staining his flower crown. "Bree." The woman kneeling over me was telling me to breathe, to not move. I was told I died for 4.5 minutes, but I wasn't looking at the paramedic checking me over. Instead, my gaze found the finger marks still ingrained into the flesh of my arm. I could still see him, clinging onto me like my torture was his paradise. It's been a year and the shadow of Cain's fingertips are still there. If anything, they feel like markings, a branding, and I'm terrified that when I eventually do die, he will be waiting for me in his own personal heaven. And that's the end of this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. A huge and special shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible, and a huge, equally as important shout out to you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed yourself here. And if you did and you're on YouTube, I'd love it if you'd leave a comment and like the video. Subscribe for more if you'd like to hear more of this sexiest voice on the internet, self-proclaimed. If you'd like to come and hang out with us, there is a Discord open that you can come chill. It's pretty cool. A lot of cool people there. I think you'd enjoy yourself. And if you fancy yourself a writer, send me your story at storiesaftermidnight.com. I guess that's it with the rambling. Hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll see you in the next one.